I was down and out. How many were also a little under the weather on Sunday? Praise the Lord. Well, that means everybody that didn't raise your hand, you have no excuse for tonight. I want to start with just a quick question. What kind of sinner are you? And what kind of sinner do you want to be? Two very difficult questions, but it begins the thought for tonight's message. About 6 months ago, Pastor Pyle asked me, he said, so are you working on a message? And I said, a good preacher always has one in the back of his Bible. He goes, good, because I might need it. Fast forward 6 months, I've used that one and a couple others. And then I realized the other day, I said, I need to put a new one back in my Bible, so this is it. And I hope that the Lord is able to reach you as well as he reached me as I was studying through it. Let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer over the message this evening. Heavenly Father, Lord, I know my voice is not perfect. Lord, I know that right now several of us are feeling less than whole. I know that our pastor is suffering from sickness, but is away and hearing and being fed spiritually. Tonight, Lord, as we seek your word, feed us spiritually. Challenge us, encourage us, edify us. Lift us up and mold us into the disciples we need to be for you. In your Son's blessed name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. So tonight, let me begin with the question, what kind of sinner are you? Hi, I am a sinner. If you are a sinner, raise your hand. Praise the Lord. But what kind of sinner are you? Are you the intentional sinner? The intentional sinner is the one that says, well, I like to sin. I like doing it, and I'm fine. Jesus and I, we're okay. We'll take care of it at the end. How many of you have known people like that? I remember serving under a preacher that he had a little plaque on the pulpit that said, get over it. Because he said, it's not about you, it's about the Lord. But too many times as a sinner, we're intentional sinners. When you look at that child and you say, don't touch that. And they look straight at you and they do this. How many of you have dealt with a child like that? I had three. The intentional sinner. If you would identify yourself as one of that more often than not, don't raise your hand. I don't want to know. Would you then classify yourself more as the fatalistic type of sinner? Well, I can't do right anyway. I can't do righteous. There is no one righteous, no, not one. So why even try? I had a preacher that once called that. He said that it was easier to ask forgiveness than what? Don't be that type of sinner. But how many of us are like that as well? Sometimes our sins are by accident, and sometimes our sins are by our full will choice. Amen? Or are you more of an optimistic sinner? The day looks good. Sin hasn't caught me yet, but I know he's in the bushes. And he might pounce out on me and get me at any moment, but the coast looks clear right now. How many of you are more like the optimistic sinner that you're okay until sin rises its ugly head and then grabs you? We had a dog, and that dog loved its little ball. And I was over at Miss Tina's house the other day, and her dog loves her little hedgehog. And this hedgehog is a stuffed animal. It doesn't know any better. It's just sitting there. But this dog thinks that it is alive, and it pounces on it and then just does this back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And sometimes you feel like sin has grabbed you in the same way. Are you an optimistic sinner? Are you an embracing sinner? Well, the Bible says that if I sin, God gives grace. So the more sin I do, the more grace I get. So let's go ahead and enjoy the sin because I get more grace through it to be able to help me through the day. Do you get the impression that each of these different types of sin is not a sin we want to do? Preacher once called that the sin confess, sin confess syndrome. I sin, I confess. I sin again, I confess. I sin again, and this is just your life pattern. Never escaping from this vortex that pulls your life in. What kind of sinner are you? Are you a sinner that feels like sin has control of you? Or are you a sinner that believes what the Bible says, that the blood of Jesus Christ has freed you from the dominion of sin? What type of sinner are you? Can we agree that sin is not a disease? Amen? Can we agree that you can't take a blood test and say, oh, there's the sin gene? You can't go and have it medicated, amen, and chicken soup will not cure it. Sin is not a disease. It's not something that you're going to catch like the flu bug that we are all suffering from. Amen? Would you agree with that? If you do, say amen. Would you agree that sin is not the boogeyman? The Bible describes the devil as the lion that is seeking whom he might devour, but it does not describe sin as seeking to devour us. It is a state of being, but it is not a boogeyman. What is sin? Take your Bibles real fast and turn over to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, once you're there, say amen. I'm going to be wearing out your Bible a little bit tonight, so hopefully you're going to keep it in your lap. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, it says this. He says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear that what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope, now let me pause right there. Do you have that hope? Oh, no. See, some of you are awake. I'm not so sure about anybody over here. Do you have that hope that when the dead in Christ rise, you and I are going to be with Christ? Do you have the hope that absent from this body, present with our Lord? If so, say amen. Amen. Look what it says here. It says, if you have that hope, in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. For sin is the transgression of the what? Can we agree that sin is not an abstract? Sin is a specific. Sin is a declaration where the Lord has said, we have transgressed his law. We have transgressed his will. We have rebelled. We have fought against. We have defied. We have disobeyed. But sin, according to Scripture, is us telling God, I don't want to do what you've told me to do. Would we agree with that? So I go back to the question, what kind of sinner are you? We are all sinners, amen? And just as it is a fool that Scripture says in Psalm 53, that it is a fool, a man that says in his heart, there is no God in heaven. It is also a fool that says he has no sin. That's why I asked you if you had sin, amen? Look at 1 John. Look at 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. Look at verse 8. Again, once you're there, say amen. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar. Amen? And look what it says next. And his word is not in us. Tonight, I want to confess I'm a sinner, and hopefully you're willing to confess to me that you are too. Amen? For every teenager, you should raise both hands and a foot. Praise the Lord. I remember if somebody asked me, they said, well, what about the age of accountability? And I said, well, it's getting lower and lower every year, especially when you see some of our young people these days. But I ask you the question, what kind of sinner are you? And what kind of sinner do you want to be? Do you want to remain in this type of sin life where you are just doing it over and over and failing and getting back up and failing and getting back up? The sin confess. Well, you know what? I'm just going to live my life because I can't really fix it anyway. Or do you want to live a life like what Paul describes as someone that is freed from the burden of sin? You see, when Christ died on the cross, he didn't just pay the price for our sins. He removed the consequence of that sin. And here we go, ready? He removed the power of that sin. Turn over to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, verse 6. Once you're there, say amen. Romans chapter 6, looking at verse 6. I'm just going to read verse 6 and 7. Look what it says here. Knowing this, that our old man is what? Oh, no. Read that word one more time with us. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified. Do you know what that word crucified means? Dead. Amen? It says here, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve what? Oh, here we go. There's a different type of sinner. There's a different type of sinner I want you to know about. And that's the type of sinner that is freed. See, one is still living in the bondage, and one is freed. What do I mean? Some believe that when Jesus died on the cross, he only paid for some of our sins. I was having that conversation just this last weekend, and that's such a devastating conversation to think about. Some believe that when Jesus Christ went on the cross, he only paid for your sins up to the moment of your salvation. He sanctified you to that moment, and now it's up to you to keep yourself clean. It's a variation of, if you know the term, say it with me, limited atonement. But that's not what the Bible teaches, and that's not what Paul just said. Paul said that our old man died on the cross with Christ. When Christ paid for our sin, he didn't just pay for up to a moment, he paid for them all. Which means the sin that I have not yet done was already paid for before I was born. The sin that yet I will not do for a decade was already paid for on the cross. And Paul is saying, don't live in thinking the way that sinners think. Think that when Christ went on the cross, so did your old man. Look what it says here in Romans chapter 5, verse 8. But God, verse 8, commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet, what? Sinners, Christ died for us, much more than being now justified by his blood. We shall be saved from wrath through our life of no sin. Is that what it says? No. What does it say? Through him. We have salvation not because of something I have done. We have salvation because of everything he has done. So what kind of sinner are you? Because of the victory on the cross, we are to be a new type of sinner. Yes, I am a sinner. Praise the Lord. Raise your hand. I am a sinner. Praise the Lord. But there is a difference between somebody that is saved and somebody unsaved. Is there something different between someone that is redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and one that is not? According to Scripture, that person has been freed. What do I mean? Look at verse 9 of Romans chapter 6. It says here, knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Paul is saying, there's a reason why we sing a song similar to Victory in Jesus. It's not just about salvation. It's about a life that we should be living. Yes, we are a sinner, but a different type of sinner. We're a redeemed sinner. We're an indwelt sinner. And we are a sinner that can look at sin and say, that sin has no control over me. Because Jesus Christ has the control over me. What kind of sinner are you? Are you the type of sinner that lives freed from the dominion of sin? What do I mean by that? I'm not saying that you're not going to sin. Raise your hand if you understand you're not going to ever live a sinless life. But can I play a trick on words? You can live a life of less sinning. Let me state that again. You will never live a life that is sinless, but you can live a life of less sin. You can live a life that doesn't accept a fate that is no longer yours, a life that says, well, you know what? Why I can't be righteous, why not even try? You can. You are already righteous in the blood of Jesus Christ, so you should be fighting every day. What kind of sinner are you? Look at Romans chapter 6, look at verse 13. It says here, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have, here we go, ready? Say this word with me. I love it that we're all reading the same one. Here we go, ready? Dominion. Oh, you know what that means? Power. You know what that means? Control. You know what that means? Authority. Paul is saying sin because of Christ, not because of you. Do I get an amen that you're glad about that? Every wife is looking at their husband going, amen. We know we're not perfect. Praise the Lord. But we also know that through Jesus Christ and not through us, sin now has no power over us. You know what that also means? It now means every sin is a choice. It now means every choice has a consequence. And it now means every consequence has either a reward or not. What kind of sinner are you going to be? Are you the type of sinner that says, Lord, help me? Help me keep the spiritual mind that I'm supposed to have and that you fight for it every day. I had a preacher that once said, you should begin every morning in God's holy word. And as a young man, I said, well, why? Can't I go one day without the Lord? Can't I go one day without this word of God? Can't I go one day? I'm pretty good. I think I can handle at least one day. He took me over to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. He says here, verse 1, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a what? Living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your, here we go, ready? Reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your. He says, how can you renew your mind if you don't feed it? How can you renew your mind if you don't go to the source? How can you renew your mind if it's still focused on the world? What kind of sinner are you? I don't know about you, but I want to put my mind on what the Lord wants, not on what the world wants. Look over at Romans chapter 8 real quick. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Told you I'd be giving your fingers a workout, amen? Romans chapter 8, verse 1 says this. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of a sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Look what it says, verse 6. For to be carnally minded is what? But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. You see, if my mind is focused on Christ, then even though I might be a horrible, wicked sinner, my relationship with Him is going to be different. If my life is focused on Christ, even though I'm a horrible, wicked sinner, my relationship with my brothers and sisters in the Lord will be different. And if I put my mind on Christ, even though I might be a horrible, wicked sinner, my relationship with those that I love dearest will be better. Tonight, what kind of sinner do you want to be? And what type of sinner are you? And I'm hoping you're getting the impression they don't have to be the same thing. In other words, where we started is not where we'll end up. Where we began as someone saved is not where we will be, where we will be as we mature in the Lord. What kind of sinner are you? Are you the type of sinner that says, Lord, I don't know everything, but I do know there's a battle out there, and please help me be on the right side? How many of you ever played sports? I remember the first time I strapped on my soccer shoes. Yes, sorry. I think I was around 7 years old, maybe six. Put on these cleats, put on these knees, these shin guards, put on my elbow pads, put on a jersey that hung down about here. And then my parents just kind of pushed me out into the field. I didn't even know which side I was supposed to be on. Next thing I know, I'm just kind of standing there. The coach is saying, turn around. And I do, and the ball hits me in the face. Now, why do I share that? I was confused. I had no idea what was going on in life. At that moment, I knew there was a game on, but I didn't know which side I was supposed to. I think that game, the goalie scored on his own goal. But look at James chapter 4. James chapter 4, verse 4. It says this, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Do you understand that we're in a fight? Sin is not the boogeyman. But there is a devil. Sin is a choice. But that devil wants you to make the wrong choices. Choices have consequences, both positive and negative. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be what? You know, the Lord is saying, you put me first, I'll take care of everything else. What kind of sinner are you? And what kind of sinner do you want to be? Do you want to be the sinner that just says, well, I know there's a fight, but do I really have to participate? I know there's right and wrong, but, you know, it doesn't really matter in the end. I know Jesus died on the cross, but, you know, why can't I just live my life the way I want to live it? Or do you want to be the sinner that says, Jesus died for me, and I want to live for him? Sin has no power. It was paid for on the cross long before I was ever even born. But since I've been born again, it has no power over me. For I am fully surrendered to the Messiah who saved my soul. Tonight, what kind of sinner are you? We're all sinners, but we can change. You can be those that are intentional, fatalistic, optimistic, embracing, or freed. I know what kind of sinner I have been. And I also know what kind of sinner I want to be. 1 John chapter 4. Turn there real fast. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. It says here, First John chapter 4, verse 7, it says, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this manifested the love of God toward us, and that while we were yet, or towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our what? I don't want anyone to get the misunderstanding. What I'm preaching tonight is not a cure of sin. Raise your hand if you understand. This is not a cure of sin. But this is a different view of sin. You see, sin, you can live either defeated or you can live as if sin is defeated. Scripture says that Jesus became the propitiation for your sins, the substitute, the payment. Which means the sin you do right now, he already paid for. So when I sin, I'm not adding a new sin to the list. But now it should be coming back to my mind to remind me why he went to the cross. You see, sin doesn't have dominion, but my Lord does. And my Lord, when he hung on that cross, he paid the price for that sin. And every time now that I do sin, it's not that I have to get re-saved or re-cleansed, but it does refocus for me to remember. I failed. But he has failed me not. Allow me to live for him today. I don't know what tomorrow might bring, but I know what today will bring. Scripture says that if you resist the devil, he shall what? Scripture says if you draw near to Christ, let me ask you, Are you living that type of sinner? Turn back over to James chapter 4. What type of sinner do you want to be? Verse 6, it says, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. This next verse I'm about to read hopefully will tell you and tell me how to be the type of sinner that has power over sin instead of sin having power over you. Look what it says. It says here, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall what? Tonight, I began with two questions, and I'll end with those same two questions. What type of sinner are you? And what type of sinner do you want to be? I want to be the sinner that the devil flees. I know he's after me. It's not an abstract. Sin is not after me, but the father of sin is. And the closer I put myself into the arms of Jesus Christ, he can't get me. And that's why sin has no power. Someone once said this: when you find yourself at the bottom of a well, stop digging. When you discover that you are a sinner caught in a pattern, stop. I don't know each and every one of your lives. I don't know if this message is for many, for few, or even just one. But if you are a sinner tonight, where sin seems to be controlling you, stop digging. Humble yourself and come back to the arms of Christ and live a life where sin has no control. As all heads are bowed and all eyes are closed, as the piano comes to play, there's no one looking around. Would you admit what type of sinner you are tonight? Would you be the type of sinner where sin's got a little bit more of a control on you than the Bible says it should? If it is, come. The altar's open. Humble yourself in the eyes of the Lord. Put the sin at his feet. Confess, renew, and start again. If you're one of those that says, you know, sin has really made a mess of my life, and I'm trying to live for the Lord, but it seems like every day I mess up, then come now and ask the Lord to help you through tomorrow. As all heads are bowed and all eyes closed, as the piano plays, you come. What kind of sinner do you want to be? For me, I want to be the sinner that the devil flees. And if that's you, come tonight and dedicate that to the Lord. As the piano plays, you come.